This morning I'd like to talk for a little while about the subject of patiently waiting. You know, there probably isn't anything harder in this world or in our life than to be waiting or to wait. Whether we're expecting something good, something bad, or something unknown. It can be very hard to patiently wait in different situations that we find ourselves in life. Do you find it hard to be patient when you're in a long line at the grocery store or department store and the line barely moves? I'm famous for getting in the slowest line every time, I think. So it's something that I have to work on myself. So if you're like me, you have to really be patient in that situation. When you're stuck in traffic, do you find it very hard when you have to be somewhere and you have to be there by a certain time and you're expected to be there and you know that you're going to be late because traffic is holding you up? Another tough time of patiently waiting. Or when you're at a restaurant and they tell you that it's going to be a half hour wait and it turns out to be an hour and a half wait. Have you ever been in those situations? You know, we could just go on and on and on. I'm sure you could give me 100 situations of things that are hard to patiently wait. Now, this is something I've never been extremely good on and something I have to constantly work on. Patiently waiting is something I think probably affects a lot of us. And that's kind of part of the reason why we brought the subject to us today, mainly for myself and if it helps you also. So there's many examples we could use. These are just a few, and I'm sure it probably proves the point to you. But you know, even as hard as it is for us and the situations that we're in to patiently wait, you know, if we look in the Bible, there's examples that are way harder than what we go through. Now, I'm sure some of us have had harder times than others in the situations they've been in. But I just like to look at a few of these. Let's look at an example first of Sarah, Abraham's wife. She had to wait 90 years to have a child. She wasn't able to have a child, and she still wouldn't have had a child if God wouldn't have already told Abraham that she was going to have a child, a son for him. And they both, when they heard this, they were both kind of laughing at it, thinking, well, we're so old, how can we have a child? But they had to believe in God. And in Sarah's example here, waiting 90 years for a child, that took patience, didn't it? You know, when you think of that, it took a lot of patience. But you know, she really didn't always have patience because 14 years before she had Isaac, she gave her handmaid, Hagar, to Abraham so that they could have a child through her. And when Hagar conceived, Hagar was hateful towards Sarah. And Sarah told Abraham about it, and he told her she could do whatever she wanted. And so she was really mean. Sarah was really mean to Hagar to the point where she fled from Sarah. Then an angel of the Lord went to Hagar and found Hagar and told her to go back and apologize and to submit herself to Sarah. And she would be taken care of, and all would be well, and Hagar did. And as we mentioned before, 14 years later, God's promise happened, and Isaac was born. Now, Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born unto Hagar, and he was 100 when Isaac was born to him and Sarah. Another example we could look at is the example of Noah. You know, Noah showed a lot of patience. I'm sure on a daily basis he was harassed and made fun of and so on, and showed his patience and obedience every day because I'm sure the world harassed him that he was building this great ship that God told him, this great boat, this great ark. Because God told him he was going to destroy all mankind with a flood. So he believed God. He was patiently waiting on God, and he did what God told him to do, and he was obedient to him. God told him that his family of 8 souls and 2 of every kind of beast and cattle and creeping things and fowl that was going to be with him would be saved on the ark with him. And everything else that was living would be destroyed. And so he listened to God, even though he was ridiculed constantly for this. And he still did. He still patiently waited on God's instructions and followed those. So it's a good example. He followed these instructions to a T. Even though he was going through all this harassment, he still listened to God and did his will. But you know, then after Noah and all his family and all these entities, we'll call them entities here, that went in with him, entered the ark, God caused the great flood to happen for 40 days and 40 nights. Every living thing, as he said, was destroyed outside the ark. The water was above all the highest mountains upon the earth, so that nothing could survive. God did just like he said he would. But you know, Noah showed great patience, because how would you like to be in the ark for a year, waiting to get out back into the world? He waited on God to show him when they could come back out of the ark. Noah was a great example to us by the patience and his waiting that he showed. He was in there for all that time, and he still remained patient. Now, when I think of myself, I don't know about you, but as fun as it is to be on a big cruise ship, I could be there for maybe 2 or 3 months straight, and I'd probably get a little tired of that. Just compare that to Noah being stuck in the ark and his family and being cooped up inside of it for a year. So what can we learn from this? We can learn that we, like Noah, have to trust God. We have to trust God to give us patience. Patience during the difficult times that we go through, no matter how difficult they are. We have to wait on God. We have to give that to God. In Lamentations 3:25, it says, "The Lord is good to them that wait for him." Another example we can look at is the patience of waiting of Jacob. The story of Jacob goes, as we all know the story very well, he was very, very much in love with Rachel. And so he made an agreement with Laban, Rachel's father, to work for 7 years. And after he did this, and it seemed like no time at all because of his love for Rachel, after 7 years, he was given her sister instead, Leah. And then he was told that he needed to work for him for 7 more years if he wanted to get Rachel really quickly while he was working for 7 years. He did it because he loved her that much. Now, how many would want to wait 14 years to get the one you love? It would be a long time, wouldn't it? He showed great patience in waiting to get the woman that he loved. And the last example of that particular thing I'd like to talk about is God's promise of the Comforter to the apostles. I'd like to read from Acts 1st chapter, verses 4, 5, and 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. Hence. And in verse 8 it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Here we find that the apostles were instructed by Jesus to stay and wait in Jerusalem. Why? Because they were to wait for God's promise. The promise of the Comforter, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. In verse 5 it says that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that will happen soon. In verse 6, he tells them that they would receive, he tells them that they would receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon them, and that they would be witnesses for Christ wherever they go, wherever they went. So the apostles patiently waited for the Comforter to come. And as we know in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, it talks about that. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here they were to wait until this time, and on the day of Pentecost, God, as God promised, the Comforter, O Holy Ghost, did come. The Holy Ghost gave them the power to speak in other languages, so that all these people around them that were listening could understand in their own language. And later on, we know that they're also able to do miracles through the Holy Ghost. So the apostles were another good example that we can go by. And there's many examples we could look at the Bible. These are just some of them. But the apostles were a very good example for us also of waiting patiently for God's promise. So these four examples show us that good things really do happen to those who wait, and those who wait patiently on God. If we put God first in our lives, He really will take care of us. After all, He sent down His Son on earth, as we just commemorated, to save us from our sins. We find in John 3:16 that He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what is really worth patiently waiting for? In John 2:15 it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you do love the things that are in the world, God's love will not be with you." To the world, what's really important to them is how much money and how much stuff they can have. Greed is in control of our world today, to many in our world. The love of money has taken over many people today. They want more and more and more. They want to see how much stuff they can get. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil in 1 Timothy 6:10. And we can see that in our world today, can't we? And because of it, it might actually ruin our country if we keep going in the manner that we're going. Those that are of the world aren't able to patiently wait for God in their life. Why? Because they don't have God in their life and they put themselves first. They focus mainly on the physical and earthly things, or the money and the stuff. They don't focus on God and what God can do for them. They don't focus on spiritual things. They don't really understand what is really worth patiently waiting for. They're like sheep who have fallen away and are lost. They're like the prodigal son. They have lost their way, and they don't know how to return. They need Jesus and God in their lives. We're told in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we will receive all that we need through Him. Notice here it was said that if we seek or put God first, we'll receive all that we need by God. Why? Because He knows what we need. However, God does not tell us that He will give us all that we want, because God knows what we want, what we need, more than we do. When we pray to God, God's going to give us what He thinks that we need, not necessarily what we want or ask for. God's love and care is always there waiting for us, just like the prodigal son's father's love was waiting there for him after he had spent all his money and had lived in sin. When he returned, he was accepted with love, just like God will do for us if we come patiently to Him. So what is so important that we should really be patiently waiting for? The answer is God's promises and our reward. But first we have to realize that God has His own time frame. He's not on the same time that we are. He measures times differently than we do. Christ's coming again may not happen in our lifetime. It may happen today, it may happen tomorrow, it may happen next week. Only God knows, not even Christ. And thanks be to God because of his patience with us. I'd like to read 2 Peter 3, 8-15. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to his wisdom, given unto him, hath written unto you. And so we have hope. We have hope through God, through Christ. We have hope as we patiently wait through the trials and the temptations and the struggles of life. We have hope because we are Christians and we believe in God and we try to follow what he tells us to do. We have hope because Christ gave his life on the cross for us. And we have hope as we patiently wait for the coming of the Lord at the time that God has appointed it to be. And so we should be thankful to God because God is patient with us. If God wasn't patient with us, a lot of us might be in trouble. I know I probably would. We should be thankful that God is patient with us and that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance and turn to him. So we need to be ready and we need to remain pure and righteous in his sight as we patiently wait for his return. Why do we need to do this? Because we have to do these things if we're going to receive the promise that he has told us we will receive. And that promise is eternal life, our reward in heaven with him in Christ that we can obtain someday if we're found righteous in his sight. So as we go through the struggles of life, and as you go through tough things in your life, try to lean on God, try to patiently wait because better things are to come. If we stand strong to the end. This time we're going to offer the gospel invitation to anyone who hasn't become a part of God's family, anyone who has not accepted Christ as their Savior. We're going to give you the opportunity to take the steps of salvation at this time, or if you've done something that needs to be brought forward in front of the church, or if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.